Chapter 4. First Steps to Success. Queen had four excellent musicians. A lead singer, Freddie Mercury, a lead guitar player, Brian May, a bass guitar player, John Deacon, and a drummer, Roger Taylor. Freddie was sure that one day Queen would be a big success. However, he was also worried because he did not have a real job and his only money came from selling clothes in Kensington Market. He knew that Queen had to make a deal with a record company as quickly as possible. But this was not easy because many other bands and singers were trying to do the same thing. Bands needed record companies to help them become famous by promoting their songs and albums on TV and radio. Record companies needed new bands and singers, but they only made deals with talented artists who would sell a lot of records. Queen made a record of a song that Brian May had written called Keep Yourself Alive. They took it to several record companies, but they did not get a record deal. So Queen continued playing gigs sometimes, and Freddie continued working at Kensington Market. By this time, the rest of Queen had finished studying, but, like Freddie, they did not want normal jobs. They wanted to make money from playing music. Then something happened that helped Queen a lot. In March 1968, two brothers, Norman and Barry Sheffield, opened Trident Studios, a recording studio in Soho, in the centre of London. Trident Studios had excellent equipment, and famous bands and singers like the Beatles and David Bowie made recordings there. One night, Barry Sheffield saw Queen playing at a hospital dance, and he liked their sound very much. He told Norman about this interesting new band, and the two brothers invited Queen to their studios to talk about their future. Norman quickly realised that Freddie was a very talented young man. His voice was amazing because he could easily sing very high and very low. However, Queen were a new band, and Norman had only heard a few of their songs. He wanted to see what other songs they could do. So the Sheffield brothers made a deal with Queen, that Queen could use Trident's recording studios for free, and they would record new songs that Trident could promote to the record companies. Trident also agreed to buy some new equipment for Roger and some other things that Queen needed. This was a great chance for Queen, and at first they were very pleased. But there was a problem, because the recording studios were often used by other bands during the day, and the studios only became free late at night. Sometimes Queen had to wait until 2 a.m. before they could start work. Then they worked all night until the cleaners came in at 7 a.m. the next morning. In a book that he wrote later in his life, Life on Two Legs, Norman Sheffield remembers that all the members of the band were very different. They did not always agree with each other, and they often argued and shouted. Sometimes they even threw plates and glasses at each other, and they did not talk to each other for a few days. But their problems with each other never lasted, because they all shared the same hopes and dreams. Their music was the most important thing for all of them, and they wanted it to be excellent. In June 1972, Norman asked Jack Nelson, an American friend of his, to be Queen's manager. Queen were very pleased about this, and Jack immediately started going round the big record companies trying to get Queen a recording deal. Queen were writing a lot of new songs, but none of the big record companies were interested. By the end of 1972, they had recorded their first album, which they also called Queen. But they still could not get a deal with a record company. However, at the start of 1973, they had a lucky chance. Trident made a deal with the BBC for Queen to record 4 songs at the BBC studios for a radio show called Sounds of the 70s. Queen were not paid for this, but the show was very popular, and many people listened to it every week. Roy Featherstone, one of the top people at EMI, a famous record company, heard Queen on Sounds of the 70s, and he immediately decided to make a deal with them. So finally, Queen got what they had always wanted, a deal with a top record company. In August 1973, Queen started recording their second album, Queen 2, with 11 songs. 6 of them were written by Freddie. Norman and Jack decided that it was time for Queen to do a live tour to promote their music. So, for the rest of the year, Queen played at different gigs around the UK. At the same time, they were hoping for a hit single in the music charts. In January 1974, they were invited to Australia to play as the top band in a concert. But things did not go very well for them there. Brian was ill, Freddie had a problem with his ear, and there were also problems with the band's equipment. Also, some people were angry because Queen were not yet famous, and they could not understand why Queen were the top band instead of an Australian band. So Queen decided to come back to London early, but before they left, Freddie told the crowds, "When Queen come back to Australia, we will be the biggest band in the world." Soon after Queen arrived back in London, something very exciting happened. David Bowie, the famous glam rock singer, was invited to perform on Top of the Pops on the 21st of February 1974. But 2 days before, he suddenly had to cancel, and Robin Nash, who organised the show, had to find another band or singer very quickly. He asked EMI to help him find a band who could perform instead of Bowie. EMI sent a record of Queen's songs to Nash, and he liked their music and asked them to appear on the show. At that time, the weekly audience of Top of the Pops was about 15 million people. So this was an excellent way for Queen to promote their music. The show was recorded on the 20th of February, and Queen played a song from their second album called Seven Seas of Rye, which Freddie had written. However, none of the band owned a TV. So when the show was broadcast the next evening, they had to go to a shop that sold TVs and watch themselves on Top of the Pops through the shop window. 2 days later, EMI made a single of Seven Seas of Rye, which reached number 10 in the UK's top 10 singles charts. This song was Queen's first hit single, and it stayed in the charts for several weeks. Until the success of Seven Seas of Rye, Freddie was still working in Kensington Market. But after the song became a hit, Freddie and the other band members decided to give all their time to Queen. Queen's second album, Queen 2, was released and reached number 5 in the UK album charts. As everything seemed to be going well for the band, Trident decided to organise a tour of the United States of America for them. But although the tour began well, later things started to go wrong. After only 20 gigs, Brian became seriously ill and was flown back to the UK. Queen could not continue without him, so they had to cancel the rest of the tour, which meant that Queen and Trident lost money. Brian was in hospital for 6 weeks, while Freddie, Roger and John started writing songs for their third album, Sheer Heart Attack. Freddie wrote 6 of the songs on the new album, including Queen's next big hit, Killer Queen, which was very different to the loud rock music of many of their other songs. When bands release a new album, they choose one or two of its best songs to release as single records, or singles. Killer Queen was released as a single on the 21st of October 1974 and reached number 2 in the UK singles charts, while Sheer Heart Attack reached number 2 in the UK album charts. The popular British radio disc jockey, DJ Kenny Everett, helped Queen a lot by promoting Killer Queen and Sheer Heart Attack. Kenny had worked on pirate radio stations in the 1960s before joining BBC Radio 1 in 1967. By 1974, he had his own breakfast show on Capital Radio in London, which millions of people listened to. Like Freddie, Everett was very flamboyant. He loved Queen's music, and one morning in 1974, he invited Freddie to be a guest on his show. After that, Freddie and Kenny became good friends, and Kenny often played Queen's songs. The young members of Queen: Brian May, Roger Taylor, John Deacon, Freddie Mercury.